Maybe it's the long winter or the spring or the passing of loved ones, but I've been spending a lot of time sorting through stuff lately, sorting through, you know, the attic, the basement, bookshelves, boxes, putting things into boxes, taking things out of boxes. And I came across my yearbook from high school. And in the yearbook, I found that I was voted a class space shot. I don't think I participated in that vote because I was so spring fever space shotting at that point in my life. Any assignment that I was given, like here's the superlatives for the class vote, I don't think I did it. So I don't even know who I would have voted for class space shot, but I was voted class space shot. So here I am years and years later thinking, huh, you know what? It kind of served me well to be the class space shot. First of all, I'm not sure that anyone is really a space shot or not a space shot. I think it's a state of mind that we pass through at any given part of our day. But I'm sure I earned it many a way in high school being the class space shot. But it has served me extremely well. And I wanted to do an episode, an ode to being a space shot. I want to encourage all of you to be space shots. First of all, let's just talk about space, creating space, being able to have more space in your mind, quieting your mind, daydreaming, tuning out the noise, spacing out. And then let's think about space like the cosmos, right? The great, beautiful, expansive place that we are floating through, as is so beautifully expressed by looking up at the stars or watching the clouds pass by or just breathing in the air and appreciating our atmosphere and knowing that where our atmosphere stops, there's this extensive, maybe infinite, we don't know, energy of the universe around us. And so if I get lost in spacing out about those type of things, let me know. Recently, I don't know if you're listening to this in real time or I don't know, looking back on history, I'm going to mark this one by saying this was the week we had up here in the New England area, came through from Texas all the way up into New England, across the country, the eclipse, the full solar eclipse. And in the area that I live in, it wasn't quite full. It was about 98%. So your class space shot here had some trouble handling the abstractness of this idea that our sun could be blocked out in the middle of our afternoon. When my children were studying the solar system in elementary school, they would explain to me just how small a speck, you know, we are compared to the sun. And it became a running joke, and it still is, because it's just like I cannot handle that level of abstract measurements. Or maybe I can handle it and it's a problem. I need to be less spacey about it, but I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what a absolute balancing act life is. And I mean, not life in terms of our schedules and our day and all that. I mean, the solar system, the universe is just one big, amazing balancing act. And, many a time in high school, I was some of the really cool kids, the real druggies at the time. That was like the cool international kids that, you know, they were just beyond too cool for school, you know, that expression. And they were many a times they thought that I was like a bigger druggie than they were. They thought I was a bigger druggie than they were because I get ready. I'm sure my dog is about to bark and I'm not going to stop recording. And I'm going to tell you why in a second. Because I think I was such a space shot and I was Hillary, who I am today in the making, and who knows what kind of energy I was picking up on. I think I'm a translator, so I was probably always kind of just feeling the energy of others. I don't love the expression to be empathic, or maybe I don't love it because it's not me. I'm more of a translator. Empathic is what we all are. We are a species that's empathic. We're not predators. We're not built to be predators. Check your teeth and your nails. And if you look like you could rip live meat or kill something with your bare teeth, then you're a predator. You're not. Or if you have some kind of a poison that comes out of you, then you're a predator. You're not. As prey, our job is, as prey mammals, our job is to always be alert and aware of our surroundings, whether that's in our own species or other species or weather events, natural events, whatever you want to say. The reason why I'm not going to interrupt my dog barking, who by the grace of God did not keep barking, but I think it's just a matter of time. And now it's on cue. I'm hoping that she does. Is that this podcast has been done for 5 years now, at least 5 years. I think it's more than 5 years. But I've been doing it in one take. I noticed I mixed my words up right at the very beginning of this recording, and I could go back and fix it. I have not just like good people in the audio industry in my life. I have some of the best people in the audio industry in my life. I could ask them to fix it. They could show me people I could hire to fix it. And I've always sort of like thought that there was something authentic about talking to you as if we're just sitting here. And my heart is very, very connected to you right now. Now, though, I'm noticing in very quick order that artificial intelligence is becoming popularized. It's becoming useful. It's becoming accessible. And, you know, it's probably going to change the way we communicate, especially with writing and media. Okay. So that's interesting. And so I look back at like, well, what do I do that is replaceable by artificial intelligence? Might be a good question everyone to ask themselves right now. What do I do that is replaceable by artificial intelligence? And what do I do that I don't want to be, you know, that I don't want artificial intelligence to be able to replace what I do? The first thing that came up is writing my book. Okay. My book could get corrected by grammar. Like there could be a robotic software that goes through and makes sure that my grammar is correct. Absolutely. But the content and the stories and the telling and the heart opening, the original content has to come from me. Although, you could ask artificial intelligence to please write a story about an energy worker who lives in the New England area, a mother of two, of middle age, and what some of her trials and victories and adventures may be in her life. And a story will be written in about 4.5 seconds. And I would love to read that story and see how it compares. So you can get kind of you can even get the story replicated. But you can't get replicated yet, are the mistakes, the glitches, the dog barking at a very inappropriate time, right? You can't. And I have a feeling that all this chatter we've had, this good chatter about the growth mindset and how making mistakes are key to what helps us grow and become more productive, I have a feeling it's going to drop a lot deeper, and it's going to turn out that the mistakes, the hardships, the slip-ups are actually going to be an indicator that it's us, that we're human. So I'm Hillary Crowley, and welcome to the Good Energy Healing Show. I'm here to talk about and give an ode to being a space shot. There's a term, it's a Sanskrit term. Sanskrit is from Indian and, we got a growl going with the puppy right now. It's from the Indian and European language, classical language descent, Sanskrit. That means from that language, from that language, there's a term called drishti, a drishti point. It is a point of focus. Back when I was learning a little bit more about my yoga practice, oftentimes you'll be invited to find a speck on the wall or a little knot in the wood of the wood floor beneath you. Maybe you'll be invited to even gaze out the window or look at an object that's on the windowsill. Usually the expression is to find a drishti point, which means to find a point of focus that has no meaning. It's not saying focus on this one item. Find something that has actually no meaning to you, a speck on the wall, and just allow yourself to sit there and gaze at it. That will create an environment that quiets your mind and allows you to focus. So what do you think about when you think of a space shot? You think of somebody who's spaced out, who can't focus, who's not drawing their attention in the right direction. And then decades later, I find out that you're supposed to space out on a drishti point in order to focus. I learned a lot. I was a good learner. I didn't love taking tests, so there's no really good measurement of what kind of education I had. I feel like my education and the fact that I was a space shot in high school and probably college and probably today has nothing to do with how I was learning or if I was learning. I was definitely learning. I love learning. And I want to speak to all of you out there, those of you who will own being class space shot, I say bravo. And those of you who say, oh, I'm not a space shot, I say, yeah, you are. Be a space shot. It's a really good idea. So the drishti point is the point that you focus on to allow yourself to just release and let go. I think I talked about this on another episode years ago when I talked about daydreaming. Same. You know what I mean? Like this letting go of a linear narrative, it's letting go of a fear of scarcity of time and a fear of judgment. And we all have it. We're more than capable of letting go of that. But we also are more than capable of getting regimented and rigid. And that is the rigid mindset, which means what I've already thought about doesn't need to be thought about again, doesn't need to be pondered or reflected on. My thoughts are my thoughts and they're all listed out. You know, that's not the greatest way, but it's definitely the way that we're doing life. One place where I'm definitely a space shot is at work, and I get hired to be able to see things differently, to release time. For those of you, thank you very much, who are my clients. When we work remotely, and oftentimes it's on a Zoom now or the telephone, my work is to be listening 5 or 6 different ways. I guess with all my senses, I am feeling, I'm hearing. I could never explain that to my math teacher. You know, Hillary, are you spacing out? No, but I'm trying to feel into these numbers and what they feel like. I said that more than a couple times in math class and got more than a few eye rolls, but I'm trying to feel what it will feel like to apply these numbers to my life. I'm trying to feel like what this, like trigonometry number that you're putting in front of me feels like. How big is it, or how minute is it, you know, in the negative and the positive? I feel into life. And with my clients, I don't listen to come to conclusions. I listen to listen. And sometimes that might be misinterpreted, but not with my clients, because I think I've earned their trust. One person at a time, we don't feel rushed. We create a sanctuary of a space. This week, with my clients, there's been a particularly powerful healings and narrative unfolding. Speaking of a narrative, the narrative would be, and if I was to put it into a linear fashion, would be the untelling of the stories that we think we believe in. The reporting, the untelling of the reports that we've filed away. I'll tell you one thing. If you have a story that you're telling and it results in any of the emotions, there you go. it results in any of the emotions that would include anger, greed, resentment, a rumination where you're stuck on something. It just means you haven't gotten to the true story yet. You haven't gotten to the intuition. The inner tutor hasn't been able to process that story for you. Man, I would love to tell a few of them. Try to see. I think it's fair. I can tell one story of, nope, can't tell that one. Hang on. Thinking. Oh my goodness. So many beautiful stories. But I think one of the stories I could tell is about a person, and this is a friend, not a client, who was telling me a story about how she had let down so many people in her life. And she had let them down because they were mad at her, or appeared to be mad at her. And as she continued to like let go of the story and let go of the rushing, she realized that it didn't really matter. The anger that she had experienced was just a flash of anger. It wasn't an anger that holds on for a long time. We're going to have every emotion we're going to have. You can have a flash of sadness, a flash of depression, a flash of anger. You can have those moments, but when they stay in your system, or they ruminate, or they're directed towards you. Like I was telling somebody, it was actually on the same topic that I'm referring to. I was talking about how, you know, we have to come to our life where you can't be upset when somebody's angry at you, because anger is their stuff, not your stuff. You can make a mistake. I bet a few people at work were angry at me because I forgot to return an email. I just didn't come up. Finally, I get a text. It's not an angry text. It's a nice text, says, "Hey, Hillary, check your email." But, you know, somebody had to spend an extra 3, 5, 10 minutes. Maybe I came up in discussion. Fair, you know, like they're paying attention. They're not like, please, they're a little angry, and it's all good. Taking a sip of tea, hoping the dog's it's a good time for the dog to bark. Artificial intelligence. See if you can build that in. Perfect. Hold on a second. Come over here, bud. Come here. Come over here. So I'm not angry at my dog right now. She's not angry at me, but, there is definitely a part of me, the perfectionist in me, that would be like, wow, did you really have to bark in the middle of this recording? And then I could be mad at myself. Wow, did I really have to do this in a way that the dog, you know, was available to bark? Was I thinking it through? We could be all these different things, right? And if you're a little bit spacey about it and you don't hold on to it, you can get on with your day. You can get on with your life. And you can keep your nervous system pretty relaxed. And you can start modeling a world where we don't have to be perfect and we're not dealing with scarcity. What I was saying about my office is that I space out on time in my office. Now, I already schedule plenty of time, an hour and a half. For some people, 2 hours. And for some people, 2.5 hours. And we're not in a rush. And that makes all the difference. And the regiment of being in a rush, which is what a school system is, always like one thing and then another and then another. You know, we would go from reading like an amazing chapter in a book and having a deep conversation to this blaring sound. And then you'd rush to another room. And the next thing you know, you're having to open your books and focus on, or try to tune into focusing on like X times Y equals Z, you know? And it was like, wait a minute. I was just like on the, you know, the coast of France, you know, and I was deep into a story, and now it's 7 minutes later and I have to be ready to engage in this. I would argue that, you know, maybe we should space out a little bit more and say we need a little bit of transition there. Or what would be really cool is give it more time, not be rushed to just check the box and then move to the next thing. Feel into it, you know, really feel into it. Dancers can feel into things. The dancers are taught a musicality. So every dancer knows that there's choreography, and that requires extreme precision. And then musicians know that there's precision as well in the notes and so forth. And then when dance and music come together, the choreography comes together with the music, there's something else. And it's and all the choreography done beautifully truly fits into the movement. And life is a dance. Yes, we can say there's dancing and dances, and you can go see dance or ballet on stage. But I'd like you to think about the word dance as a way to do life rather than a march, right? Rather than marching through life. Think about more of dancing through life. There's so much below the surface when you allow for it. And that's what a drishti point does. Another way that I was comfortable for a drishti point is that you're often asked to focus on a point when you're doing the tree pose, which is a balancing pose. And it's a very good idea to just sort of space out on a point, not like zone in on it, but just let your eyes rest, as they say. Let your eyes rest on one point and just stay there. You can even do that while you're listening to my voice right now. And just let that one point of focus play on you, play on your brain, your mind, and feel an emotional balance happening. You might find a deeper appreciation for what you're looking for. It might be the color on the wall or the shape of the little scratch on the wall. It could be an object that you adore or love. It could be an object that bothers you, and as you just allow yourself to rest your eyes on it, the meaningfulness, the heaviness of it goes away. It's no longer something that we need to calculate. We can just relax. When I was younger, before high school, I can remember I changed elementary schools a lot. So the different architecture of the different elementary schools that I was at were notably different. One was definitely from the 1800s, and then one was being newly built. And then another one was more of like a 60s, 70s build, like kind of a, like this cool, you know, kind of expansive thing. What am I saying? 60s, 70s? The one that I was in was probably more built in the 50s. And then the newly built one was built in the 70s because that was new for me in elementary school. And then I eventually went on to a school that's still there today. It's like the cinder blocks with no windows, or if you have windows, they're just the little windows built similar to like any institution of that time. Walls painted green and yellow and whatever was probably the cheapest paint available. And then from there, I went to a school that was, you know, that's about 200 years old now. So that would have been like the 1800s. So, which had some brick architecture. I say all this because of all the drishti points, they were different based on the architecture because I would be looking out different windows. And so my early years in kindergarten and first grade, I can remember looking to the right in kindergarten. And I don't really remember what was going on the left wall. I have no idea. But the wall of windows was where I was always looking outside at the clouds. at the trees in the distance. We were up a little bit higher, you know, and so it wasn't the trees right outside my window here. I can see the trees right outside the window, but I could see the trees up on the hill beyond where I could look out, you know, maybe around the houses in the neighborhood. That's what I remember. That's what I remember. I also remember the breaks, the snack breaks. And I remember the teacher. I remember like as they say, I remember how she made me feel. I remember she was very sweet. And I also remember the sixth graders that would bring the snacks who were really mean. And I remember how they made me feel. They were just mean and bossy. And that's it. Did I learn? Sure. I'm sure I learned. I'm sure I learned the alphabet and all the things I had to learn. But what do I remember in my heart? What did I focus on? And that was the outside, to being outside. And the drishti points of nature, I think, are much more powerful than the drishti points of the inside. Was I spacey? Absolutely. Did my parents get notes that I like had, you know, spaced out? Yeah. Would I have been diagnosed with ADHD? I don't think so. I think that's something different. And I think that because we have the term attention deficit disorder, we confuse that with drishti points and having different ways of learning. There's a learning wheel. Multiple intelligences. If you're not familiar with it, get very familiar with it before we start to decide whether we're good learners or good workers or you know, strengths or weaknesses. There's no good or bad. There's a wheel. And I would imagine that the village, to balance humanity, it's important that some of us have one strength and some of us have other strengths. So I'm sure my strength is like kind of like arts and language and abstract thinking. I think this is the part where I tell you that I did win another superlative, and that was best personality. So somehow on this little checkbox that was handed out to us as seniors that I don't think I filled out because I was so spaced out, spring fever. And if I'm honest with myself, I bet I didn't feel good to be able to say, oh, here's best looking, most likely to succeed, class space shot. Like I that doesn't feel good to kind of put people in categories. And I was not that different than I am right now. So I'm guessing I was like, man, I'm not going to do that. So I forgot about it. And then I was even more surprised when it was published in the yearbook. And I'm class space shot, but I was also apparently best personality. And that just simply means that I probably have some strength in interpersonal skills, real strength, because I couldn't, I mean, I had to fall back on that because there was a lot of things I wasn't doing right at that time in my life. And there was a lot of thinking that wasn't right in that time in my life. I was very anxious. And so I must have hidden it well. And by hiding it, I had a default and I had a strength that was interpersonal skills. How many of you had a lot of anxiety or have a lot of anxiety now that we hide, right? And we hide with our strengths, whether it's athleticism. That's a kinetic intelligence. Kinesthetic intelligence. See, I made a mistake. See if you can fix that. Artificial intelligence. See if you can build in a mistake there. Kinesthetic intelligence. Math and music go together. So I might have actually had a little bit of a good math ability because I could dance good enough. But I certainly was no good at sitting there and having numbers scrolled to me on a board. And then I was supposed to scroll them down on a page. I could feel into numbers. That's math. You can feel into the beats 4, 3, 8, 5, 6, 7, 8. Let's go. Everyone who's a dancer knows what that is. Musicians know 5, 6, 7, 8, right? There's that relationship with numbers. Speech and language, that's a form of intelligence. And I just love to get lost in the learning and really the space between meaning, the space between the lines. There's a great expression, read between the lines. I loved that expression because that's all I ever do is I just read between the lines. So back to my client, my clients in general, lots of stories came through where they walked in the door and said, I got a story to tell you. And this is decidedly the root of my problem. And this story is going to tell you why I have problems. And at the end of the sessions, it would be, I've let go of that story for a much beautiful message, much more beautiful message and a much more beautiful time, to understand that the calculating, here's a big message of this week too, to be mean to my client who knows what I'm talking about right now, I give a shout out to you. Thank you for helping me have this amazing. If you look up what it means to be mean, it's so hard to even say the sentence because the word mean is such an interesting word. It means, it has meaning, but it also means to be like cruel. Like if you're mean, you're cruel. Why is this word mean all over the place? Hang in there, everybody. It's because it means to be calculated, right? So calculate your life in the right direction. This calculates to this. This equals this. That's a calculation, right? And the way they looked at me in the grocery store means they're not nice people. I've calculated it, and now I'm going to put it back on them, and then we're going to have tension between the two of us, and I'm just going to decide through calculation that that person does not deserve kindness. You decided. There you go. You chose, you calculated towards meanness. So in order, and then there's the expression of what is the meaning of life? How confusing. If somebody is learning this language for the first time, what is the cruelty of life? Because being mean means meaning. What does meaning mean? Does that mean being cruel? No. It means what is the true way to calculate life? Mean also can mean scarcity. Means like you're measuring things in like mean quantities. Like we're getting down to the mean quantities. Isn't that interesting? So calculating, deciding on scarcity, the opposite of abundance and generosity. So interesting. So don't let yourself get caught up in the narrow thinking of deciding that you have and you will get rewarded for just staying in one direction and putting your thought into something productive and a lesson plan or an agreed upon beginning, middle, and end. Wonderful structure. But then if you micromanage all of that stuff in the meantime and you never go off topic and you never allow for mistakes or interruptions or spacing out, that's not good for your energy. Space out, people. Allow yourself to space out. I know a few of you are listening to this on a walk right now. I know a few of you are listening to this while you're doing housekeeping. I know a few of you are listening to this while you're driving. Allow yourself to let go of any stories that you think you already know the ending to, especially if they're stories that you're playing over and over in your head, especially if they're stories that as a result, you feel more tension in your body, more anxiety, angst. Anxiety, I looked it up in preparation for this episode. Anxiety is the tightness. It means tightness. The word angina, which is the tightness in the heart. Some people take pills for them. I remember my mom and I were doing a workout in the pool one day and she felt tightness in her heart. She had to take her angina medicine. If you look it up, angst, A-N-G, ang, angst and then anxiety, those are all the same thing. It's a tightness. Okay. So what's a tightness? Scarcity of space, right? Space out. Give yourself space. Release. Let it go. In other cultures, in the Eastern culture, the drishti point invited you to space out. Ironically, in order to be able to focus more deeply on what truly matters, right? That beautiful energy of what truly matters. So I'm welcoming and holding up all of you to all of my classmates who voted me as class space shot. Thank you so much. You're also best personality person here. I don't know if I deserved that one either. But I just wanted to thank you because it went into the archives of the yearbook. And when I opened the page, I was like, oh, yeah, I was probably pretty spacey even at a young age. But now when I space out, I can hear messages. I can get clarity. I can move mountains in healing. And I know that my job is not to be here to just do this. I know that my job is to awaken this in all of you, to give you, if nothing else, just give you permission to space out and say, what else is going on here with my disease, with my hangups, with my clutter, with my relationships, with my anger? What if I just space out on it for a little while? Just space out. Don't act like I have all the answers and don't go looking for all the answers from somebody else. Just space out. Just space out. Let life become a little bit more of a dance for you. An unchoreographed dance, freestyle. I got in trouble a lot for spacing out. I didn't get a lot of rewards for it. But I like the title. And I never meant any disrespect to anybody when I was spacing out. That's a big thing. Yawning is a show of disrespect, and spacing out is a show of disrespect. Turns out yawning is one of the fundamental ways that you can reset your vagus nerve and get back to the parasympathetic nervous system. So, oh my goodness, if you're a teacher, you should probably not only encourage yawning, you should probably lead an exercise where everyone gets to stretch and yawn. Hello, welcome to the day. Let's do a nice stretch and yawn. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, we're going to do this again in 15 minutes. You don't have to, because we don't have to be regimented about this, but I'm going to welcome you to stretch and yawn. Doesn't that feel better? Oh, you just got more oxygen to your brain, but more importantly, it activated the vagus nerve to relax. If you're ever having a lot of anxiety and you want to reset the vagus nerve, force is the wrong word, but you know, imagine yourself into a yawn. Maybe you're all imagining yourself into a yawn right now. Hopefully when I just yawned and stretched for you right there, it encouraged you to yawn. So many ways to space out. Have some fun spacing out. People pay a lot of money to go on vacation. And what are you doing when you're on vacation? You're spacing out. A lot of people take medicine and or drug themselves with alcohol or marijuana or I'm just leaving it at those two things because I don't that makes you a little less inhibited so you can kind of space out a little bit. Give yourself permission without having to use substances to space out and be less inhibited. And then maybe encourage other people to be able to space out. And what you'll find is you'll be a much more beautiful vehicle to drive through this balancing act of life. And you might even find spirit moving in and saying, ah, I can speak to you so much easier when you're spacing out. So I'm Hillary Crowley, and thank you for listening to the Good Energy Healing Show. It's been awesome to space out with you today. I will be spacing out and doing intuitive readings and having a blast at Kripalu on May 10th through 12th. That's less than a month from now. Go to HillaryCrowley.com. You should be able to find a link. You also might have fun just going to Kripalos, K-R-I-P-U-L-A. Nope. Kripalu. Look at me. Kripalu. K-R-I-P-A-L-U. There you go. See? AI couldn't do that either. Spell wrong and laugh at yourself. Have fun, everybody. I hope to see you there. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be with Dr. Heather Talman Room. She's guest speaking. And I'm there by the grace and invitation of Lauren Walker. And we're presenting again. And it's awesome. And it's playful. And it's gentle. It happens to land on Mother's Day weekend, and it's going to be about really finding this beautiful way to guide and love unconditionally ourselves and learn more about how our bodies are already loving and guiding and unconditionally loving us. I can't say enough about how excited I am for returning to Kripalu, and I hope that you sign up. But more importantly, come back. I will have another episode for you and keep you posted on how life is going. And most importantly, go ahead and space out today. I'm Hillary Crowley. Thank you for joining me.